Welcome to Coast to Cast, a podcast on coastal science where we meet scientists and ask questions that don't usually appear in published papers. With this podcast, we want to give voices to many coastal scientists and engineers so we can meet them at least virtually and hear curious and less curious questions. My name is Ana Vila-Concejo, and today I'm having a chat with Oscar Ferreira. What can I say about Oscar? He was my PhD supervisor and is an excellent scientist and an excellent person. Oscar's research on beach morphodynamics, particularly on the effects of storms and storm clusters, is widely known. He also researches coastal risks and hazards. He's based at the University of Algarve in southern Portugal. Hola, Oscar. How are you today?
I'm well, fine. And you? It was a long time without seeing you.
I know. I don't even remember. No, it was 2018, wasn't it?
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Only virtually after that.
Yeah, it sounds like a life away. So, you know that this podcast started with the COVID lockdowns. Do you think we're seeing the other side of the tunnel?
Yeah, I think we are seeing the other side of the tunnel. I think we are getting back to our normal lives, and particularly regarding the work, we are giving the classes as we used to do. We are starting to attend meetings and to have face-to-face meetings as well. But there are other things that they will also stay, like this one, for instance, profiting that we now know how to use this technology. I think that's a lot of possibilities still arise from the lockdown, which is good. So we are making a mix of face-to-face and online meetings and profiting from what we learn as well.
I think you're right. There are quite a few things that we've learned that are positive. So anyway, okay, let's go to the podcast. Oscar, we have a set of semi-fit questions to go through in about 30 minutes. So let's start with the first one, which is, how did you start in coastal science?
Well, a long time ago. it was on the last year of my graduation. There was the first project funded by the National Agency in Portugal. There was no project funded before. That was in 1989. And Alvering Dias, which was also your supervisor and mine, he had a project. We applied, and then we needed to decide what was the topics for each of us. We are six or seven. And when I saw that one of the topics was coastal dynamics, I immediately said, okay, that one is for me. And it was like that. I think I gave no chance to the other poor ones to choose their topics. And I really decided to keep that one. And it was like that. I was still on the last year of my graduation when I started.
Well, I've seen you taking decisions like that too. So yes, probably no chance to the others. Okay, the next question is about your life. How do you balance your life commitments, your personal life, your work life? Do you have just one life or many lives?
I just have one. No, I think that nowadays I have a very good balance between my personal life and the work. And definitely there is only one thing that is on top, which is my personal life and my family. So for a long time that I decided that my family is always above my job and my work. That means that normally I don't take work home. Normally, doesn't, of course, in some occasions we need, and I still need to do it. But I really try to not take work home and to always prioritize my family.
A very healthy approach indeed, and quite refreshing to hear that. The next question is about your hobbies. What do you like to do when you're not working, Oscar?
Well, I would like to say in the past that I would like to do a lot of sports. That was true, but not anymore. Not anymore. So I would say that normally now what I really like to do, as strange as it might seem, is to walk along the beach. So I work on the beach, I go to the beach, but I still love to walk on the beach with my wife and my dog. And that's a great hobby, in fact. And as you know, here in Rio Formosa, apart from the beach, we also have a lot of places where we can walk near the salt ponds and places where we have flamingos and other birds and so on. So it's quite refreshing to go along that and make some long walks. So that is probably the thing that I do more often when I decide to relax and just enjoy.
That's cool. Indeed, the Algarve is a beautiful place to go walking the coast. Okay, so the next question is about aspirations. So we work in a nice environment. I think it's a nice area of research. Most people are really nice. What would you like to change in our area of research to make it an even better place?
Okay, we work, in fact, in a very nice area, the coastal area. We have that opportunity of working something that we really like. We can turn it even better, and I would like to have it a little less man-made, let's say. Here in the Algarve, we have areas that are protected, and so they have not a lot of construction, but in other places, they are highly, highly touristic. And those ones are not getting more attractive, in fact. And so in some cases, I would like to have some natural rebuilding, some nature-based solutions in order to make those areas a little bit more natural.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, can you tell us about a favorite paper or a paper that changed your life?
There are a lot of many good papers, but it is true that when I revisit those papers and when I look back, I think that the new ones are better, and I'm sure that the next ones will be even better. So even if, of course, we build on the shoulders of the previous ones, of course, all the time, I don't look much back in the past. I try to look forward and to see that the next papers will be for sure better than the last ones from several young researchers that are just now starting and have a lot of potential. So I normally look for the next ones, not for the past ones.
I like that. Okay, so Oscar, you have done lots of field work. What are the wildest field conditions that you have encountered?
I had a few, yes. One of them was in Fortaleza in Brazil, where it was a normal, nice day, and we're doing bathymetry, but the boat hit a reef. And so we had a huge hole on the boat and we start to sink. and we were taking water from the boat, waiting for being rescued, let's say. And at some time there was one guy that was taking the water down. I was then picking up the water and giving to Rui Taborda, we also know it, and then out. And the guy just didn't pass me any bucket of water anymore. And I said, what do you say? Why you did pass? Well, I'm tired as well, but you are sinking, you know. We cannot be tired. Fortunately, the boat was good enough to not sink completely. And we could also swim back to the shore. It would not be very, very problematic. And then we were rescued by another boat and dragged to the harbor. I think that was the darndest one I had.
It does sound quite wild. On that topic, did you have a favorite fieldwork place, Oscar? Is there a place that you really like working there?
I like Rio Formosa. I really like Rio Formosa. It's I don't know Australian beaches in Australia. I've never been in Australia. I'm sure they will be incredible. But Rio Formosa is a wonderful place to work. And now we have a project, a life project on dune conservation. and also bird conservation in the desert island, Deserta. and Deserta means, of course, there is no one there. So it is an island where you don't have any occupation, just one restaurant, that's it. And it's incredible. It's always, always great to go there and to work there.
I agree. And, the Ria Formosa is just an amazing place. I have to say, when I moved to Australia, I was very happy to work in microtidal environments because you didn't have to wake up in the middle of the night to deploy the instruments. But then, on the other hand, you can put them pretty much at any time, but the waves are always breaking on you rather than putting them, or they tie this out and then running out. So yeah, I miss the Ria Formosa too. Okay, so following up on that question, what is the strangest thing that you have seen at the coast?
There are also several strange things that I saw on the coast, namely on these kind of remote environments. Some of them you cannot tell to the public because they involve nudity and other things. But there is a strange thing that happened to me, more than sea, that happened to me. It was during one of the tracer experiments, not one of yours, I think, at Faro Beach. And it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, so 1, 2 a.m. And it was foggy, and I was driving the quad, collecting the sandbags. Because we just placed the trace and were then collecting the sandbags. I was already probably almost 1.5-2 kilometers from the main area where we start the experiment. And I was stopped by two guys. And those two guys identified themselves as being from the police. And they stopped me over there. And then I understood what they were doing. They were already watching us from a long distance with video cameras, trying to see if you're trafficking drugs or not. So they want to know what it was on the sandbags. and it was quite strange for me to be stopped by the police at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere in a foggy night. So yeah. Being stopped by the police in the middle of a beach in the middle of the night is a strange thing to happen in the coastal area.
That is a strange thing. I like the story. Okay, now let's go back to science. And do you think that we can predict long-term morphodynamic changes beyond the decadal scale? Do you think it's possible?
It is possible. It is possible to predict. We do predict. It doesn't mean that it will happen. and what do I mean with this? We do predict what will happen if the conditions are more or less the ones we think that will happen in the future. And but those conditions can change a lot, and they can change a lot even by the human intervention on the coastal area. It is true that we can predict, but we always say at some point in our papers, assuming that this scenario, assuming that the occupation is the same as it is today, assuming those conditions. So yes, assuming all that, we can predict. If that is going to occur, it depends very much on how those assumptions will be correct or not.
Fair enough.
But we need to do it. We need to do it because it's with those predictions that we can say that if you don't do nothing, this will happen. And so then people will do something, and that will not happen. Okay, yes. But we're not wrong necessarily. We're not necessarily wrong. We just said, okay, we need to do something. If not, this will be a problem. So we are predicting to indicate that we need solutions. So it's good.
That's a fair point. Okay, now thinking forward, you're allowed to use your crystal ball, Oscar. Can you think of a major advance in coastal science that will happen in the next 50 years? Or what is something that you would really like to happen?
I, There's something that I'd really like to happen, and I think it will happen in the next decades, which is using modeling and probably artificial intelligence and prediction associated to that. I do think that at some point we'll have an integration of remote sensing that will be translated into, for instance, morphology. And then we also have already now waves and surges and tidal conditions at global level. So if that is integrated in modeling and artificial intelligence, we could have a prediction of impacts from storms, not only at local level, but a much more generalized level, and updated with beach morphology at each day, let's say, or each couple of days. So I do think that will happen. What we see today, for the predictions of winds and waves for a hurricane, for instance, I think we'll see in a few decades for the coastal evolution as well. So the more or less the same type of models and even predictions can be developed for the coastal area as well. Mm-hmm. And I hope that will be done.
Yeah, but you mean like in a large scale, like at the moment we're doing it in some places at a very local scale, but
Yes, like you go to NOAA site and you just pick up where you want to see what's going to be the impact of a storm on that day.
That would be cool. Okay, the next question is about other contributions to society. What did you do aside from your work? How did you contribute to society?
There is one thing that I really like to do. I still do it, and I hope to do it for a long time, which is to go to schools. We have a program here that is called Team WALG. So that program is for the entire university, and we propose something to the schools. I have normally two proposals. One is a field visit at the place where the school is implemented. So whatever is the school, I'll do a coastal visit there for them to know how it is the coast near their living area, what are the problems, the risks, etc. And another one, it's a talk on climate change and potential coastal impacts. So I go to the schools often, and I really like to go and to interact with the younger students. And not necessarily just from the area of knowledge, from the sciences. Sometimes they are from not only for natural science, they are from other science, let's say. So that's something that I do. Not so often, but also sometimes it happens, is to interact with the coastal managers. So from time to time, when needed, when they want, when they call me, I interact with the coastal managers and I give my advices.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, so our last question is, what was the best, but before actually, because I think I forgot one question, that is, because I mean, you were my PhD supervisor, so you might be feeling a bit not comfortable with this question, but it's like, what is your style of supervision and do you have any tips?
I don't even think that I have a style of supervision, but okay. It changes a lot, in fact, depending on the student. So I would say that in some cases, I have students that prefer to knock on the door and to come and make the questions when they want. I have other students that prefer to collect their questions, do some work, and then to have a longer meeting discussing those questions. So I have the two approaches. I don't have one. I have the two approaches. And at this moment, I even have the two approaches for different students. My advice, if you want, for supervisors, and particularly for students, is to if you have a doubt, if you don't know exactly what to do, stop and ask your supervisor. Don't go forward with that doubt. Don't do much work still having that doubt, because sometimes at the end you do the work and then you come back for 1 month before or some weeks before, because there was something to be solved yet there. So if you have doubts, knock on the door, go to your supervisor, ask the questions, he, she will help you, or if they can't, they will indicate someone to help you. That's the role of the supervisor. I already had this several times with students that kept working, still having a problem, and at the end we needed to redo the things. And there was a lot of time lost. So that is one advice that I can give.
That's good. And I want to thank you publicly for not using me as an example of anything of this. Okay, so the last question is about the best or worst advice that you ever received. Or what would you say to your former self?
Best advice, I think it is easy, because the best advice that was given to me, it was to apply to the University of Algarve. because it's, you know, you already told yourself that it is an incredible place to work, the Algarve, to work on coastal areas. And I'm here since 94. And so I really enjoyed to be here. And I'm still enjoying to be here. So that was the best advice for me, really, to apply to this place and to be here. I don't think I have ever had a bad advice that I can remember, or probably I forget them. It's probably better to forget them.
I was going to say that it's probably quite a healthy approach to forget bad advice. Okay, so now, before going to our final quick questions, is there something that you would like to say that you haven't had a chance?
No. I think the only thing probably is that for those that are young people starting now, is that you, even if it is a very nice place to work, the coastal area, the main thing is to love to work on this. And I still do it. I still love to work on coastal areas. And so the only thing I would like to say is that if you do it because you are passionate about it.
Absolutely. I like that. Okay, now we have arrived to our final quick questions to wrap up. Don't think too much. Just give me the first answer that comes to your mind. So, favorite band, music, or composer?
Well, in general, global, probably I would elect U2 as my favorite band from global. Even if I don't go back to the old times, I probably listen much more today, Weekend and Post Malone. But okay, in general, yes.
Okay, cool. Favorite dish or signature dish?
No, dish. Okay. Favorite dish. Well, let's go to a Portuguese one. Bacalhau com nata, so cod fish with cream. May seem strange for those that are not Portuguese, but it is a very good dish.
It is a great dish indeed. The latest book you read?
A graphic novel, also Portuguese, called The Vampires. And it was not about vampires, it was about the colonial war in Africa in the 70s. And it is extremely violent for a graphic novel, but it is also incredibly well done. It is a shame probably that is not translated in other language. And it is also important for us. I came from Africa. I was born in Africa. It's also important for us to understand what happened there, and that it was very tough.
Fair enough. Okay. What is the weirdest thing that you have on your desk right now?
I'm searching for it. there is one thing I need to show you, because I think I never opened this. It is here for 15 years, I think. Never used it. Never used it.
I will describe it. Oscar is now opening a white box that has inside
3D glasses.
3D glasses. 3D, okay.
3D glasses, well, broken, from a computer that was given to me more than 15 years ago, where no one had 3D glasses and there was nothing to see with 3D glasses. And they are still here, but I never use them. I don't know why I have them here. They're going to the garbage now.
I was about to say, just keep them there another 15 years. You never know when you're going to need them. Okay, Oscar, do you have a favorite movie?
Yeah, I do. What's the name in English? Amigos de Alex in Portuguese. It's from Lawrence Kasdan. I think it is The Big Chill. The Big Chill. It's about friendship. They get together at the funeral of a friend. That friend never appears on the movie, and you don't even just know the name, which is Alex. And not much about him, in fact. But the rest of the movie is between the friendship and the relationships of all the others that got together for the funeral. And it is very, very nice, because I think that could be a funeral, could be a celebration. It would be the same when you reconnect with your friends after some long time. You always have stories to tell, always have memories to share. So yeah, it's probably my favorite movie, The Big Chill.
Nice one. Final one, coffee or tea?
Yeah, coffee. Coffee. Several a day.
Okay, cool. So thank you very much, Oscar, for your time today. It has been great having you in Close to Cast.
It was great to be here. Thank you, Anna.
Okay, and thank you everyone for following us in one more episode of Coast to Cast. I hope you have enjoyed, and please follow our podcast and give it a lot of stars in your review and help us spread the word. See you soon. Bye.